It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. This is my show where I read the dictionary in order and talk about it and try to have fun with it. Maybe make it a little bit more entertaining. We have good times, we have bad times, we have song times, we have glad times. The first word in this episode is flake. This is the second form. It is a verb from 1602. Number one, to cover with or as if with. What do you think? Flakes. That's what it is, to cover with flakes. So what, you just get a whole bunch of flakes, a bunch of snowflakes, a bunch of paint flakes, a bunch of corn flakes, a bunch of horse flakes? You cover yourself with them. Just flake. I'm flaking myself. If you lay down outside while it is snowing, you will be flaking yourself. Number two, to form or break into flakes. The synonym is chip. And so I guess this is where you're taking a thing and you're making it into flakes. Maybe you're taking the corn and turning it into corn flakes. You're taking the paint and you're chipping away at it, and your little flakes are coming off. You're flaking the paint. You know, oh, it's so hard if there's like some paint that's cracked. It's so hard not to pick at it. What other sort of flakes are there? Stone flakes, chipping away at a stone, making some flakes there. Those were transitive. Here's intransitive. To separate into flakes. Also, to peel in flakes. And I don't know what are we separating into flakes? Peeling in flakes? I can't think of an example for that one. Okay, now, ooh, I gotta make a sound effect. I guess we'll just do maybe more like a sort of related to some of our words today. Now we have the third form of flake, noun from 1623. This is a stage, platform, or tray for drying fish or produce. Okay. I don't know if I'm familiar with this one. It is from the Middle English word flak or flake, which means hurdle, akin to the Middle Dutch vlak. Vlaka, vlake, which also means hurdle. From the Old Norse flaki, doesn't say what that means. It probably means hurdle. A stage, platform, or tray for drying fish or produce. Why do they call it a flake? I don't get hurdle. I know the hurdles when you're running over the hurdles. You jump over them. I know that some fish, I guess fried fish, might have flakes coming off of the fried breaded part. Yeah, this one I don't get. I don't know why. Maybe we're not calling this stage, platform, or tray a flake anymore. Maybe it was only from 400 years ago. Interesting. Whoa. The fourth form of flake is a noun from 1964. It is a person who is flaky. I think we're going to see that later this episode, yes. The synonym is oddball. Oh, yes, we all know a flake. You're being such a flake. This is perhaps from the word flake out, the two words flake out, which is next. But should we say anything more about a flake? I think I could be a bit of a flake. Being a little spacey sometimes, being in my own little world. Let's see. We all know a flake, flaking out, missing a thing. I try not to be a flake. I try hard not to flake out and be flaky. But, you know, sometimes it's just like, I'm gonna be a flake today. Ooh, that would be hard for me to do. Stereotypically, they say blondes are flakes, but that's disrespectful to blondes. Some are. Some brunettes are flakes. Some redheads are flakes. Male, female, non-binary, doesn't matter. We can all be a flake. Let's all flake. 1964. yeah, I feel like 64 through the 90s, maybe this was more common, but I don't know. Today, maybe not so much. Flake out, two words. Intransitive verb from 1939. So yes, this idea of flaking out goes back even further. Number one is slang. To fall asleep? To fall asleep. So in the 30s, 40s, maybe the 50s, if you fell asleep, you flaked out. Interesting. I guess, yeah, I mean, this is old, an old term for me, so I don't know about this. Number two is also slang. To be overcome, especially by exhaustion. So, again, yeah, same idea. Maybe you were working so hard in the farm, and you were so tired, then you flaked out, and you just fell asleep. Maybe you were working all day, working all week, and then you go to a party on the weekend, but you're so tired from partying, or from working all week. You're so tired, you can't even party, and you flake out at the party, or maybe you get so drunk at the party, you flake out. This is probably from the dialect word flake, which means to lie or bask, like lying down, basking in the sunset, warm sun. So yeah, I could see a connection, but I don't know this flake to lie. Was this one of the definitions we had before? I don't remember anything like that. Okay. So I guess back in the day, almost 100 years ago, you could say flake about lying down and basking. Snakes be flaking. Oh, that's a flake snake right there. Lying down on their stomach. All right, that's flake out. I guess it's not in here, but you know, to flake out, to be forgetful, to miss a thing, that would definitely be flake out in more modern day definition. But they didn't have it in here, and I don't know why. Whoa. Next is flake tool. Two words, noun from circa 1947. A Stone Age tool that is a flake of stone struck off from a larger piece. It's also called just flake. It's literally something that was flaked off of another rock. And they used that as a tool. It's a flake of stone struck off from a larger piece. So this piece must still be pretty large and strong, not probably very thin if you can use it as a tool on something else. But what made the flake tool? What was that tool that broke off the one piece from the other piece? Was it another rock? Was it a bigger flake tool? Whoa. Next is flak jacket. Was there something that we had before that mentioned flak jacket? I don't remember. Maybe not. Was it in flak? Let's see. Let's go back to flak. Back to flak. I don't remember. No, I'm not seeing anything right off the bat. So, flak jacket. I love the internal rhyme there. Noun from 1950. It is a jacket containing metal plates for protection against flak, F-L-A-K, but broadly, a bulletproof vest. It is called also flak vest. So, is this protecting against the flak that we had in the previous episode, anti-aircraft guns, bursting shells fired from flak? That's the only thing I see about flak. So, I mean, I don't think of this vest is going to protect you from anti-aircraft guns. Those things are meant to take down aircraft. You are a human. You're not an aircraft. So, I mean, but maybe it's just, well, they're also, well, no, let's see, bursting shells fired from flak. So maybe, yeah, maybe the shell's flying off. Maybe you got to wear the flak jacket when you're shooting the flak, because the pieces could fly off and could be very injurious to you if you're not wearing the flak jacket. I just love the name flak jacket. Bulletproof vest. Do cops, detectives, people going out into the field where there could possibly be gunfire or something, do they say flak jacket? I don't know if I've ever heard that one before. Maybe just vest. Next is flaky. First form, you can spell it F-L-A-K-Y or F-L-A-K-E-Y. It is an adjective from 1580. Number one, consisting of flakes, as in flaky snow. The snow is so flaky because it is flakes. It's snowflakes, all the flakes. Flaky. Dry skin, maybe skin can be flaky because it consists of flakes. I try and put on my lotion. I got my lotion right over there. Wash my hands a fair amount. Get my knuckles are getting all dry in the winter especially. You got to lotion up. You don't want flaky skin. Number two is tending to flake, as in a flaky crust. They're speaking my language now. A flaky crust. Oh, could it be pizza or pie or croissant or other pies, hand pies? What are some other good flaky biscuits? Ooh, biscuits can be flaky. Oh, I was already hungry. Now I'm making myself more hungry. I want a flaky crust. Flakiness is a noun. Okay, that's it for that. The second form of flaky is also an adjective. Again, this one's from circa 1963. Markedly odd or unconventional. The synonyms are offbeat and wacky. Wacky! I'm feeling so wacky today because I'm flaky. Flaky and wacky, wakey and flaky. Flakiness is a noun. I would rather be this kind of flaky than the flaky of maybe being more forgetful and stuff. That's not really in here. That's how I think of flaky. Somebody who's just flaking out, not just, you know, missing appointments, missing whatever, you know, you get it. But this one's a lot more fun. Offbeat and wacky, the oddball. I think I should strive more, actually, to be flaky in this way. I wouldn't use this term, flaky, just because that's not how I imagine it, but I guess other people do. But yes, offbeat, wacky, and the oddball. Okay. I see you flaky people out there. Whoa. Next is flam. Flam, F-L-A-M. Noun from 1744. This is a drumbeat of two strokes, of which the first is a very quick grace note. So would it be like this? A grace note. It's just like a blah, blah, blah. It's just a quick little thing. Something like that. I never heard of that being called a flam. But I guess regular drummers, people who are drumming all the time, people who study drumming, they probably know this term flam. I mean, I have dabbled with hand drumming. I did take one semester of drum kit lessons in college. But I don't think we ever talked about a flam. No, I like this term. If you are a drummer and you really love the flam, please tell me about the flam. Whoa. Now we have the first form of the word flambé. You can also pronounce it, it looks like flan-bé, but just with a subtle N, flambé. But it's spelled with an M. I don't know which is more proper. I should say the spelling, F-L-A-M-B-E, and the E has the accent, the acute accent goes boop. This flambé is an adjective from 1914. It means dressed or served, covered with flaming liquor. This is usually used post-positively, as in the example, Crepes Suzette Flambée. I don't know what the post-positively mean. I mean, post, I think, means after. So you're using it at the end of, you got crepes, the very thin pancakey thing, Suzette, I don't know what that means, crepes made in a Suzette way, and then you are putting flaming liquor on it. Liquor has alcohol, and the alcohol is flammable alcohol, and then you light it on fire, probably just briefly, just for a little bit, and then you blow it out, and then you eat your crepes Suzette flambée, or something else. There's lots of other things that can be flambée. Dressed or served covered with flaming liquor. This is from the French, flambée. From the verb flamber, which means to flame or to singe. Also from the old French flambé, which means flame. That's what it is. I think it's pretty clear. But now we have the second form of flambé. This is a verb from circa 1946. This is to douse with a liquor and ignite. And examples of this liquor, here we go. If you want to make this, first of all, be very careful. If you are a child, you probably shouldn't be working with the liquor in the first place. Maybe watch your adults do this instead. Examples would be brandy, rum, or cognac. I guess those are typical liquors that are used in this situation. Again, I have to say, if you are young, not of age, please don't do this. Even if you are an adult, I actually think that you shouldn't do this, because there are a lot of adults who are very irresponsible, immature, clumsy. When you're dealing with flames, you have to be so, so careful. Even the professionals who are doing this, the people in the restaurants who are doing this, they have to be very, very careful, and they even have accidents. So don't be stupid, please. You could dare to be stupid. That's different. But don't be stupid. Okay, so yes, it's the action of pouring the liquor on the crepes or the whatever, maybe ice cream even, and then get your lighter, get your matches. Flambé. I have flambéed the crepes. Flambé crepes. All right. I would accept something like that as long as it's vegan. Next we have flambeau. Actually, the emphasis is on the first syllable, flambeau. Like Rambo? Rambo covered in cognac and lit on fire? This is French, so it's spelled F-L-A-M-B-E-A-U. Noun from 1632, and it looks like you can also, the plural can be spelled with an X at the end, so it's flambeaux, or you can spell it with an S instead of an X, and it's pronounced the same way. Flambeaux, it is a flaming torch, but broadly, the synonym is just torch. It's from the French, which means flame, so the flambeau, please. Oh, I am a Frenchman, please. I can't see anything. This is a terrible French accent. I should practice. Please, give me my flambeau, because I cannot see anything. Yeah, this is a terrible French. I am so sorry. I don't know French. I am learning French a little bit on Duolingo, but it is a hard language for my brain. It's very difficult. I can say the words in a French accent, but trying to do English words in a French accent in the moment when I have not listened or practiced, it's very hard. Flambeau. Next we have flamboyance. Flamboyance. This is a noun from 1891. The quality or state of being flamboyant, which is coming up. Next we have, before we get to flamboyant, we have flamboyancy. This is like when you're floating in flames when you're floating in water, but you're lit on flames. Maybe you were covered in alcohol. Ooh, I have flamboyancy. Ooh. I don't think I have any buoyancy at all. That buoyancy is spelled wrong. No, spelled different. This is a different buoyant. So flamboyancy is a noun from circa 1889. The synonym is flamboyance, which takes us to flamboyant, the state or quality of being flamboyant, which is our next word, of course. This is the first form of flamboyant, spelled flamboyant, F-L-A-M-B-O-Y-A-N-T, flamboyant, a flaming young ant. This is an adjective from 1832. Number one is often capitalized. It is characterized by waving curves suggesting flames, as in, we got two examples, flamboyant tracery. I don't know what tracery is, but also flamboyant architecture. So this architecture has waving curves that look sort of like flames. Maybe these are decorative elements. Maybe walls or spires or something are made. They have those waving curves to look like flames. So they are flamboyant. I have never heard of that one. Number two, marked by or given to strikingly elaborate or colorful display or behavior, as in, a flamboyant performer. Flamboyant performers are very fun. I get maybe just a little flamboyant here on this podcast, not very flamboyant. I don't have a lot of space to be flamboyant. It is not exactly my nature to be flamboyant, but I do think it is very fun to be flamboyant. I don't get a lot of opportunities to be flamboyant. Maybe when I am at home and I am alone, maybe vacuuming, doing dishes, cooking, walking around, listening to music, maybe I can be a bit more flamboyant when I am at home alone, dancing around. That happens sometimes. But not so much here or in person. But I'm trying to loosen up. You know, I think it's good to just let loose the silliness, the weirdness, and being comfortable in that. It's hard when you weren't really like that for so long, especially in front of people. Flamboyantly is an adverb. And this word is from the French flamboyer, which means to flame. And that's pretty much what it is. To be like flame, to flame. The architecture one makes a lot of sense. I'm a little confused at how this colorful display or behavior thing came to be flamboyant. You're acting like flames. You're moving around like flames. I'm trying to do a curvy, flamey thing here. I don't know if it's really working so well on the video, but I think you can hear it in my voice. You can hear it. All right, now we go to the second form of flamboyant. Noun from 1879. The synonym is royal poinciana, and I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that word. P-O-I-N-C-I-A-N-A. And whatever that is, I don't know, maybe it's a plant, maybe it's a color, maybe it's a performer? I don't know. Royal poinciana. Seems like a plant. Maybe it looks like flames. Don't know. All right. Now we have the first form of the word flame, and we have two forms here. F-L-A-M-E. It's the last word. Two forms. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the glowing gaseous part of a fire. Ooh, flames, fire is a gas? Not something that I think most of us probably think about. The glowing gaseous part of a fire. Wait, so is it But what is the fire? Isn't that the fire? The flames. There's the flames from the fire, but what's the fire? If the flames aren't the fire, or are they just part of the fire? But what's the rest of the fire? And it's a gas? But if it's a gas, wouldn't it, or is there a difference between a gas and gaseous? If it's gaseous, it's like a gas. A gas would expand to fill its container. And I guess flames can do that, sort of, but also, I don't know, it's a weird thing. Like, I'm thinking about making a fire in the fireplace. Making a fire in the fireplace. The flames stay in a certain area, and they go up. And that's because you have opened the flue to the chimney, and so the pressure, the air, is pulling it up. So if that wasn't there, it would still stay in a certain area. Like when you're doing a campfire, the flames are there. I think it's just gaseous is just like a gas. Like I am gaseous because I burp and fart, but I'm not a gas. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. Is the flame the fire? Is it part of the fire? It's a thinker. Number 2A, a state of blazing combustion, as in the car burst into flames. So how would this be different than the other one? A state of blazing combustion. So the car is burst into flames, but the flames are the gaseous part of the fire. Still kind of the same thing, but it's more about being in the state of that situation. Okay, 2B, a condition or appearance suggesting a flame or burning. Okay, condition or appearance suggesting a flame or burning. And then we got sub-definitions. 2B1, burning zeal or passion. So you've got a flame. You've got a flame, a burning passion for whatever the thing is that you have a burn. You got a flame. If you're listening to this, maybe you have a flame for words. Or a flame for me. 2B2 is a strong reddish orange color. Flame, the flame color. I have some things that are sort of flame colored. I have a Funko over here that I have to grab. This is Jack. Jack as the Pumpkin King, he is also on flames, I think. Yes, he's got some flames on him, because in the movie, they light him on fire, and then his whole pumpkin thing burns up, and then he is just normal Jack after that. So he is, his colors are there. They're sort of flame-colored, and especially the flames. Let's see. Now we have number 3. The synonyms are brilliance and brightness. Brilliance and brightness, flame, because flames are glowing. Yeah. Number 4. The synonym is sweetheart. Oh, you're my flame. Can you be my flame, my sweetheart, my Valentine? Flame. Because you've got a burning zeal or passion. Number 5, the memory, reputation, or beliefs of a deceased person. But broadly, the synonym is memory. Okay, we have an example. Thank people. Thank something, because I was getting a little confused. Keeper of the flame. That's the example. So, keeper of the memory. The reputation, the beliefs of a deceased person. So it's like whatever they did in their life, believed their life, their something, that's when they die, that is then passed on to somebody else who becomes the keeper of the flame. Keep the flame alive, keep their life alive in some way, keep their memory alive, their reputation. I don't know if there are any other phrases other than keeper of the flame that match with this definition. I don't know of any. So I don't know how often this one's getting used, but it's the memory of the deceased person, not their memory, not what they remember, but Yes, we're keeping them alive in our memories. It's like the movie Coco, when people they keep on living in the afterlife until the last person in the normal life has forgotten them, and then they fully die. And so please don't ever forget me. I don't want to really die. I want to live on forever in whatever way possible. Don't you forget about me. Keep my flame alive. Number 6, an angry, hostile, or abusive electronic message. What are we talking about? An email? A text? An IM? Call that a flame. They sent me a flame. They were so angry. I don't know why. It's not like I may have said that I'm going to punch him in the face, but come on, don't send me a flame. I've never heard of this one. I'm either too young or too old. One of those. Let's see. This word is from, it means flame. The Latin flamma, it means flame. From the Latin flagrare, which means to burn. So yeah, it's all about flames. And now we have the second form of flame. This is a verb from the 14th century, starting with intransitive. Number 1, to burn with a flame, and the synonym is blaze. Number 2a, to burn or break out violently or passionately, as in flaming with indignation. This is more metaphorical. I have so much indignation, I am bursting or breaking out violently or passionately with my indignation. I don't know how you do that, but you can do that. Flaming with indignation. 2b, to send an angry, hostile, or abusive electronic message. Again, I don't know if I've ever heard of this one before. Number 3, to shine brightly. This synonym is glow, as in color flaming up in her cheeks. Ooh, she got embarrassed because her flame was looking at her. So she blushed. That's it. That's what it is. The color flaming, glowing red in her cheeks. Shining brightly like a diamond. Those were intransitive. Here's transitive. Number 1, to send or convey by means of flame. And the example is flame a message by signal flyer. Fires. To send or convey by means of a flame. So, I mean, I, of course, automatically think of either the fires that are sent in The Lord of the Rings. I'm trying to remember what that scene is called. The beacons. The beacons are sending a signal by fires. Or, sending smoke signals of some kind. I didn't study smoke signals. I don't know how they work. But I think it has to do with setting a fire, maybe putting something over it so the smoke billows up, and then you release it so the smoke goes up, and you're sending either like 3 quick smokes or maybe 1 big one, and they all mean something different. So that would be communicating by use of flames. That's flaming. Number 2, to treat or affect with flame, as 2a, to sear, sterilize, or destroy by fire. Ooh. I'm thinking of sear, sterilize, or destroy. So I have lots of options there. Obviously destroying by fire, flaming the house, the house burns down with the flames. Or sterilize a needle, maybe if you are at home giving yourself an ear piercing. You want to sterilize the needle, so you burn it with a match, a lighter, whatever. Probably not a good idea. Don't do that. I have to legally say that. Those are different ways that you can flame something. Number 2B, the synonym is flambe. 3, to send an angry, hostile, or abusive electronic message to or about. Again, not sure about that one. Flame, a flame message, a flame email, a flame mail, flame text. I don't send these. That's not my style. I try to be nice. Flamer is a noun. The one who is doing the flaming. All right. I think it is now time to pick a word of the episode. We have talked plenty. Here we go. We had today flake, 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 flake out, flake tool, flak jacket, flaky, flaky, flam, flambe, flambe, flambo, flamboyance, flamboyancy, flamboyant, flamboyant, flame, and flame. I'm a little torn between flaky or flamboyant or anything else. I mean, the flambe sounds tasty. I don't know. Let's pick flamboyant because it's a fun word to say also. Flamboyant, we're acting flamboyant here today. Woo boo 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 doo boo boo. Flamboyant. Is there anybody out there watching me? No. Good job. I really should cover up that window. Although they can still hear me. All right. Let's look up what movie the next movie to talk about is Bratz. This is a documentary. We watched it on Hulu. About the Brat Pack. These are the people who were in their 20s who were making movies in the mostly 80s, I guess a bit into the 90s, and a journalist called them the Brat Pack, a takeoff of the Rat Pack. People like Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, and it was a very clever turn of phrase, but for the people who were in the Brat Pack, which was a whole number of possible people, they did not necessarily appreciate that. And it had an effect on their lives. Depending on who they were, it had a different sort of effect. And so, yeah, it's a pretty interesting... If you grew up with those people, it's an interesting look into their lives, into how that two-word phrase affected them. And... you know, it sent them down a certain path, and some of them, I think, hold on to it a little bit more than others. And so, yeah, and it's made by one of the Brat Pack members, Andrew McCarthy, and he interviews a bunch of the other people and some other non-Brat Pack people. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting look at that little microcosm of a world. And we all love to hear what celebrities have to say about their lives. Okay. That's it for this episode. Thank you for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer flamboyantly dispensing information. Goodbye. Whoa!